This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Shogun Fights this weekend, Jeremy. Joining us right now from Shogun Fights, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, he is John Rollo. What's going on, John?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Listen, man, my buddy Ben said to me when we talked about you being on the show, he said, good Lord, man, they already sold out. Tell John to stop being so damn successful. March 29th at the Hall and Live Casino, man. You and I were going back and forth via text. You have a huge card this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think this is a real stacked card. We have 12 fights on the card, but there's three or four. I mean, man, there might even be more guys that could be going to the UFC in the future. The last two bouts on the card, the main event's a light heavyweight. It's Muhammad Ali. He's a world champion in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The UFC's got an eye on him, and he's fighting Jared Gooden. Jared is like an 8-time UFC vet. He's got like 30 fights to Muhammad's 4. So, this is a big fight for Muhammad. If he wins, he probably steps up to the next level. If Jared wins, you know, over a big prospect like this, it could put him back in. We got a heavyweight, Max Jimenez, is fighting Diego Peklat. Max is another world champion in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's like 5-1 or 6-1 now off the top of my head. But the Dana White Contender Series just hit us up looking for video for him. So if he can beat Diego, who's won his last two in the Shogun cage, then Max might get a call. We have Pat Rivera fighting James Sandlin. And Pat's another guy who's on the verge of maybe getting to Dana's Contender Series. Zaki Mosin, a guy who's an Olympic-level judoka. He fought on Shogun before and had one of the craziest knockouts we've ever had on there. He's fighting Ryan Jett coming out of North Carolina. And then on the prospect side, like the new guys coming in, Keon Lomax making his pro debut. He's fighting Adam Amato, who's a tough kid out of Arizona, trains with Henry Cejudo's team. Taylor McMahon, who trains between his gym in Salisbury and Ground Control. He won his debut, and he's fighting a kid who requested to fight him, so Joel Lopez. So this could be another good one. Will Breslin coming back to the cage, Andrew Spencer, another kid who's making a return after a little while away. So this is going to be I'm real happy. It's a stacked card. Like you said, it is pretty well sold out for people that are interested in tickets. If you know any of the fighters, you can try them, but keep an eye on it the last couple days, like Thursday, Friday, because some of the fighters will turn back a few, and there might be some good seats that do come back available. But if you did look right now, I don't think there's a seat left online right now.
John, it's a who's who of celebrities, man. Steve Molesky, Muhammad Ali. We got Josh Jackson, who was the lead in the Mighty Ducks. I mean,
yeah, Josh is another real tough kid. Man, he had a crazy knee. He kneed the kid in the clinch and dropped him. Josh is fighting the kid, Rogelio Melgoza. He's a real tough kid out of Richmond, Virginia, MMA Institute. So I'm pretty pumped up. I mean, this thing from top to bottom has real good fights.
Is it getting, I hate saying easier, but like you've been doing this so long, does booking fights come a little bit more naturally now? Or is it still hard work trying to find the right, you know, weight class and this guy and getting guys in and making sure that they want to fight?
Now, the hardest things, I don't want to say that the making of the matches is hard because guys are eager to fight, but when you have the problems is when you have a guy like, say, a Muhammad Ali or a Maxi Menace who are so come from like the jiu-jitsu side, where Max is like a 3-time world champ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to find people who want to fight him because of his jiu-jitsu pedigree. And at the same time, when you're first bringing a guy like that in, you don't want to throw him right to the wolves either. Like, because while he's a great jiu-jitsu guy, you're still rounding out your MMA game. Now Max is several years in, so his skills are getting more and more well-rounded. But it's definitely hard to, you know, sometimes, you know, to get matchups for guys like that. I mean, that's why Muhammad's fighting a guy that's got 30 fights and has already been to the UFC, because if you looked for another guy that had 4 fights, they don't want to step up and take that challenge. And then the only other, you know, and I don't want to jinx myself, so I'm knocking on wood right now. The worst part is when guys get hurt, and if it's real close, then it makes it tougher because you're trying to find a guy on short notice who, you know, may not have had a full camp, or now he's got to try to cut that weight in half the time. So, you know, those are the main tricks, you know, is finding even matchups, you know, finding guys that'll fight these, you know, these specialists like Muhammad and Max, and, you know, God willing, they stay healthy. If everybody stays healthy, it's usually an easier time, but man, there are times where I've had guys lose 3-4 guys within a 3-week span. So it can be stressful at that point.
Johnny, you don't have a hair on your ass. If Rashad Vance calls out and you don't call the other Steve Molesky for a name fight, like that could be the makings. We might have
I'm going to hate to tell you, but those are different weight classes. Oh. Because Steve Molesky is 160 pounds.
Yeah, okay, my bad.
Steve Molesky versus Steve Molesky. Hey, John, man, I'm proud of you, man. Because
I mean, awesome. We
remember Jeremy and I on the other station when you were trying to get this thing rolling, and now it is absolutely rolling. It's funny, like all of my friends, it's appointment setting. And I'm like, man, I remember when he was starting this thing, man. And now it's like everybody wants to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blessed. I'm very fortunate. And it's come to the point where, like, I have season tickets, you know. So since we're only doing a couple a year, so many of the same people come. Like, you know, the casino has boxes. And I have guys who every show I've been there, they have the same box.
Yeah.
You know, that's like awesome. Vinny from Life Med,
yeah.
He's got an entire section, you know, for his crew and his employees and his guests. You know, Ron from Lexington National, huge friend and supporter. You know, these guys, they get the same seats every time, so they know who's going to be around them. And I treat them like season tickets. Like a lot of tickets don't even go up for sale because they're pre-sold from show to show. So, you know, we've really been blessed. So, again, I'm just appreciative.
Again, like he said, on Thursday, go to shogunfights.com if you want tickets. Maybe some of those tickets are released. John, good luck on Saturday. I'll be in Toronto. I'll miss this one, but good luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
Right, John Rollo, man. 410-583-1057 is the number. We're giving out shovels at 8:30, but on the other side, Kim McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com on the Fan. Ken McCusick in studio for Film Study Baltimore. Ken, what's going on with you, man?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
Doing well. Ken, I appeared on a Cleveland radio show last night, and they were talking so much about the draft, and naturally when you're drafted, what, number two?
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about the draft because you kind of got a good idea. And he asked me what was the name that Baltimore Ravens fans were falling in love with the draft, and I told him, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I said, fans aren't really talking about the draft too much here in Baltimore. It's more about roster retention and who you're going to keep. We're more concerned about the current roster than we are guys in the draft.
I agree, and that may be a natural artifact of being number 27 in the draft, that you don't think ahead as much as you would normally. I think the other thing is the Ravens are really in a good position. They don't have a single glaring need entering this draft like they did at left tackle, say, last year. They could use a new corner, they could use an edge, they could use a big defensive lineman, particularly out of this class, to replace Michael Pierce. They could take an offensive tackle anyway. They could take a free safety, which is a need. But anyway, what I like about this is there's a lot of needs that they have, and it puts them in a good position to draft for value more. It's like if you need a little bit of every position, you just have to draft the best player available.
So, Ken, one of the things that I was looking at was Ardarius Washington. In the second half of the season, he was absolutely amazing. I mean, we could sit here and point out plays, the two-point conversion stop when he was right there and just kind of shuts it down. Looking at him, do you think he's more of that guy? And what do you expect to happen with him with the tag that he got?
Right. So they gave him the original round tender. And of course, Ardarius was undrafted free agent, which means the Ravens will get no compensation if he signed elsewhere. But on the other hand, they get to match any offer that's put up. And they also only need to pay him $3.41 million instead of $5.35 million this year if he signs the tender, and that's what he actually ends up playing for. I think the precursor is the Ravens would like to have Ardarius test the market, find a contract that's probably $4 million a year or thereabouts that they'll sign him for 3 years. And I hope that's the end result of this entire dance here.
Rob, I got to step out. Ken McCusick's at the back door waiting on me. Just texted me.
I'm sorry I missed your text, Ken. Waiting outside.
Oh. Here with Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Nelson Aguilar, you can insert any joke that you want, but he's made some big plays for the Ravens since being with this football team. He's a UFA. What are the chances you think that he returns?
Yeah, so I try to handicap some of the players here. And Nelly, I think there is a chance he'll return before the end of the year. And, you know, certain players, they burn their bridges. There's no real chance that they'll come back. I think Deontay Hardy has burned some bridges, basically based on what I heard Harbaugh say in terms of saltiness at the end of the year. At least there was something going on that he wouldn't talk about it entirely.
If you're Deontay Hardy, how are you dumb enough to burn bridges?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Deontay Johnson, how are you dumb enough to burn bridges when you're in a contract year like this? I mean, just... It's silliness. But those two guys, I don't think will be back. Nelly, I think there's a chance he'll be back either at the beginning of the season if there's an injury, or during the season if there's a problem. Multiple chances that he could be back.
Now, you had listed here four moves you'd like to see. You want to break those down for us?
Sure. We can talk about this. I mean, I think the big one that we've talked about any number of other ways on the show about Mark Andrews being traded or cut or whatever is to eliminate the tight end logjam. So they can do it by extension. They can do it by trade, but they need to put themselves in a position that they can draft another tight end this year and have some roster security about what they're doing at the end of 25. So the way everybody would like to see it done, and the most people would like to see it done, is for Isaiah Likely to get extended right now. But the Ravens for sure have been probing down that street, and they haven't gotten it to happen yet. And now they've passed the point where they paid Mark Andrews a bonus, and now their roster is actually quite logjammed, and they're at a problem where all three contracts are coming due at the end of 2025, and they'll be in a bad position unless they can off-schedule these contracts and get them staggered.
Yeah, it's that kind of situation for them. So much going on. The Ravens, it's funny because you watch these national NFL shows, as we're here with Ken McCusick, Film Study Baltimore. They have different issues. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like the league is split into threes. teams that are a crap show, teams that can't get out of their own way to get over the top, like the Cowboys, for instance, and then the teams that always seem to get it right, and they're always trying to add that one little piece to get over the top, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. They're kind of in that category.
Yeah, Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Bay Packers, sometimes the Pittsburgh Steelers, though the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have the quarterback right now. But the common thread you'll see in through those teams is that they get the draft right. When you get the draft right, then you're stuck with your terrible decisions you have to make are the heartbreaking decisions of what players you have to let go at the end of the 4 years. I talked about this, I think, once before in the air. The Arizona Cardinals put out some tweet about, hey, how do you like our offseason so far? And they signed 8 free agents. And it's like, no, I don't like that. That means you didn't homegrow your talent.
Hey, Ken, somebody asked me about the division. I was on a Buffalo station. And they were talking about Cincinnati signings and said, oh, is Cincinnati the team that you guys fear? And I said, probably, but are the other two teams inept? We don't know who the quarterback's going to be of the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers still playing games with them. I don't think any of us respect the Browns, with all due respect. I probably should have said that first. I mean, this is the Ravens division to lose, and it may be that way for a while.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, obviously the Bengals could get it right. The Bengals have signed some team friendly deals with their guys, so it's a lot of money, but it's money they can get out of with T. Higgins.
But they're going to get caught in that credit card with Jamar Chase. Well, that's the thought process with T. Higgins. For people that didn't realize, it's essentially it can be a 1 year deal.
Yes,
but. My biggest problem with them is they had one of the worst defenses in football last year, and they've added no one, and they've lost players. Yeah. It's like, you think it's addition by subtraction, losing your best run stuffer and possibly your best pass rusher?
No, absolutely not. That's no such thing. It's like saying, do you think losing both of those wide receivers was addition by subtraction? Some guys you just got to have. They had to have one wide receiver, mm-hmm. not two.
Yep.
Ken McCusick, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore.
Sure. We got draft coverage coming up. Begins Thursday. You'll see the running back countdown, 10 to 1, and that's the format I use for each position. And, of course, I make a plug for Friday Morning GM. If it's one of our most popular shows, comes out, not surprisingly, on Friday morning.
There you go, Ken. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Does Terps Julian Reese deserve to have his name hanging from the Raptors? We'll talk about that at 8:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jaden Daniels' mom. That's what I want to talk about. If you guys missed the video, as Jaden sat next to a prominent female athlete, and his mom, all of a sudden, when she came out, made somebody scoot over so she could sit in between both of them. I'll tell you a little bit more about the story, and you can see the video on social media.
Jalen's mom's nickname, CB.
Mm.
Figure it out. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovel's next.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're giving out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS. Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, can I throw this one in real quick? Because I was a little upset. I saw that, I don't know if you know this, Mark Morrison, the R&B singer.
Yeah.
He got in trouble because he shoved a restaurant manager. What part of "I came to rock the show" didn't you understand, restaurant manager? You're just not going to invite Mark Morrison over and expect him not to rock the show. Good God. All right. My shovel is going to Jaden Daniels' mom.
CB.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think we're all assuming this, but I feel pretty strongly that's what happened.
Yeah.
Where Jaden was having a good time sitting down talking to Juju from USC.
Watkins. Yeah. Time out. The lady that got hurt last night. Let me stop for a second. If you don't know, now Jaden is what, 23, 24?
Yeah.
Okay. Because imagine
he's
23,
older because remember, he spent more time in college.
So right, it's but like still.
23, 24, I think that's right.
So imagine you being that age. And if you don't know who Juju Watkins is because you don't follow college basketball, Google image her.
Yeah.
Now go on.
Yeah, so, and by the way, he turns 25 in December.
There you go, 24.
So So he's there, and it looks like they're having a good time chatting. You can't see what they're talking about, but they're laughing.
You see all teeth for both of them.
And then mom comes back from either the restroom or the concession stand, and it's like, I'm going to need you to move over, Juju. You ain't sitting. And you even look at the look on her face, and it's kind of like, no, we ain't having this. I didn't approve this. It's a tough look for Jaden, though. And again, maybe it's not the case. Maybe we're just assuming this, but it sure looked like it. Then you go ahead.
Come on, man. You know how it looks when a man and a woman are talking. There's the different level of smiling. There's a polite smile, like, will you leave me alone? There's an engaging smile, like, this is a good conversation. And then there's an oh my God smile. Oh my God, this is Jaden Daniels. He's looking at her saying, oh my God, this is Juju Watkins. They both look like they had mutual admiration.
Yeah, they were enjoying each other's company.
Absolutely.
But maybe she was sitting in mom's seat and she said, you better move your ass over and get out of my seat.
I ain't be honest with you. I was talking to my buddy Rob Scott, and we both agreed. That's my mom. My mom would be like, I'll see y'all later. Dude, it's Juju Watkins.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's not like she's gold digging. She's doing all right.
Yeah.
She's doing all right. Listen,
she's on this damn State Farm commercial.
Exactly. Jay Daniels don't have a State Farm commercial.
Nope.
You might get one with her.
He don't have a good neighbor.
His mom. My shovel goes to the bicyclist on Falls Road. Now, Jeremy, you said I should share the road. And you're right.
No.
The speed limit is what?
Is it 30 out there or 40?
40. The 40 is the speed limit.
I don't know, because the old people that drive up and down this road go 20 miles an hour, so I can't tell what's what.
Now, don't we all agree that when you're going too slow, you're a traffic hazard?
Yes, you should get a ticket
so
for it.
Okay, so get over and let me go the speed limit. That's all I'm asking. You should not be in the middle of the road purposefully having me behind you. Get over so I could go around you. That's all I ask. I'm not even saying you shouldn't be in the road, although I don't think you should be. Mm. Listen, there are bike lanes. Am I right? There are trails just for bikes, right? What happens if I drive a car on those bike trails?
You ain't going to fit.
I ain't going to fit. But yet you can drive a bike on the road. I don't understand that.
But at
the same time, if you choose to do so, be courteous enough to know that you are out at your leisure. I'm going to work. I have a purpose. Move over so I can get around you.
Yeah, I mean, this drives me nuts with the bikes right in the middle of the road. And again, some people would say that's a you problem, but then cyclists are like, well, you got to share the road with us. I am sick and tired of this nonsense of just not paying attention. It's going slow.
Crap.
Again, they shut down 83 to allow people to ride their bikes. Don't mess up my day for them to do something they can do anywhere. I mean, get the hell out of here with this nonsense, man. I get so tired of it. The damn parades in the city I was talking about, that St. Paddy's Day parade, you could shove that up your ass.
But even with that, okay, that's once a year, I get it.
No, I don't want it at all. You would have shut down a whole city to celebrate a day that everybody, you can celebrate it anywhere. Sorry, anyway, go ahead. I stole your shovel.
No. I don't mind that too much. No, I don't mind a parade.
Man,
I got a reroute for a parade. I knew it. I knew it.
Reroute?
In advance.
I sat there for 2 hours. There was no reroute.
Well, they told you in advance.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did too.
When? I didn't get a text. Am I supposed to check, like, the city if I'm going in it? Like, come on, man.
You know, they do it every year.
That dumbass stuff. I ain't trying to hear it.
You're not Irish, are you?
I am Irish. But I don't need a damn parade.
You don't sound Irish to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. Did you want me to sound like this?
That's much better.
Thanks. Thanks for throwing a parade. That could be trolling.
Let's go to Johnny and Dundalk. What's up, Johnny?
Fellas, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, I agree with Jaden's mother.
No.
Because here's the thing, Jeremy, if you living with your mom, right, and y'all got a comfortable relationship, and you go around and she hits the lotto, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see some dude come in the house maybe trying to be nice to your mom, you don't know how much money that dude got. You going to feel some kind of way.
See, Johnny, that's where you're wrong. Because it's Juju Watkins. It's not some girl. You do know. That's the whole point of what we're saying. You got a girl. You got a young lady. Check her NIL. She don't need Jaden Daniels. It's not some girl. It's not just some girl that he's sitting next to.
To his point, maybe she didn't know who that was. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it don't matter. You don't want nobody coming in and messing up the
That's some dysfunctional stuff that you're pumping right now, Johnny. You get negative points for that.
I'm on Johnny's
side. It is not a parent's job. Come on, dude. You don't do no mess. I don't want nobody messing up my situation. So now you're saying mom's the gold digger.
Rob, what if it was Stephanie?
He's saying for the purpose
of
money.
I'm just messing with
you. That's what he's talking about. He's talking for the purpose of money.
Her NIL deals are worth around $1 million.
Exactly.
Rob, but that's not Jaden Daniels.
But he's talking about she should block him to not mess up her financial situation. This is his mother.
Are you kidding me? Rob let some dude in his house that was rooting against South Carolina.
Exactly, on Sunday, until I realized he was rooting against South Carolina. Hey, I didn't know.
He wasn't coming.
And I said to him, Joe, I stood up. I pointed at the floor. I said, what's that there? He said, South Carolina rug. I pointed next to him. I said, what's that? He says, a South Carolina tablecloth. I said, what's above that? He said, a South Carolina football helmet. I said, what's over there? He said, a football. I said, who's it signed by? He squinted. He said, some guy named George Rogers. I said, Google him. Heisman Trophy winner 1981. I said, what's this right up here?
That's
on
a
the wall.
History lesson.
He said, a South Carolina wall plaque. And I said, dude, you better cheer for the other team silently.
Did you know your girl's dad had a matching South Carolina tablecloth?
You better cheer silently. He looked at me and said, okay.
Rob took the belt off after that.
And then Stephanie put her arms up like that emoji again, like, hey, you better recognize where you are.
You need to learn.
You better recognize, man. You know what I mean? Three teams you can't cheer against in my house. Four. Orioles, the Gamecocks, the Ravens, and the Terps.
Okay.
We ain't having it. Now, I'm going to be in a little bit of trouble on Friday.
In my house.
You know why? Because the Terps play the Gamecocks.
Oh. I didn't realize that's the next matchup.
Yes, that's the next one.
Oh, that's going to be good. Now, I would say this. You could cheer for anybody in my house that I didn't
bet on.
Unless I bet on them. When your ass gonna walk outside, you ain't gonna be cheering for me to lose money.
You may have walked in, but you gonna be limping out.
You wanna limp out.
Speaking of Terps, Brenda Freeze joins us at 9 o'clock. And also speaking of Terps, Joe, I took this exercise seriously because at first I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? But then, upon further review, does Julian Reese deserve to have his name hanging in the rafters of the Xfinity Center? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:50 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Let me give you the players that are hanging in the rafters at Maryland. Gene Shue, Tom McMillan, Lynn Elmore, John Lucas, Albert King, Buck Williams, Ernie Graham, Lynn Bias, Walt Williams, Keith Booth, Stevie Francis, Juan Dixon, Lonnie Baxter, Steve Blake, Gravis Vasquez, and Joe Smith. Also, Johnny Rhodes. All of those guys were All-Americans with the exception of Ernie Graham, Steve Blake, and Johnny Rhodes. Johnny Rhodes is the number one guy that you can use and say, well, why wouldn't you put Julian Reese? Johnny Rhodes, though, he had, how many points did he have for his career? 1,700 points. Juju was at just under 1,500. He has 111 steals. Juju has some numbers that are very interesting, and you could argue, well, but what if he doesn't go deep enough? I don't think Johnny Rhodes went past the Sweet 16.
I don't think any of that matters. Like, for me, you're going to have to look at some four-year guys or guys that did a lot in a short period of time.
Okay.
That were special. And seeing what Juju's done here, again, his offensive game isn't great. It isn't. It's something he's going to have to continue to work on if he wants to play at the next level. The other parts of his game, phenomenal. And you look at it, and because a lot of people are going to go look at points and go, well, this is what he scored. And over 4 years, you can accumulate quite a bit.
Right.
But I think when you start looking at him, 3 and 4 blocks every game, a couple of steals here or there, it's just unreal to look at him defensively. The other day, I mean, he almost had double-digit rebounds in the first half of a game. So, I'd like to see him up in the rafters. I think he deserves it.
And I think you look at Johnny Rhodes, he helped kind of be part of that revitalization of Maryland's basketball. That's another reason he's honored. You could say the same thing maybe about Juju. Because when he came in, Maryland basketball was on its way down. And they basically built around him and ultimately got someone like Queen, who is phenomenal. But, man, it's hard to make a solid argument against it.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I first saw this on a rundown from Joe, I'm like, why? What are you talking about? But then I saw researching it, like, because I didn't understand where he was going with this. I'm like, Man, it's a great question. I think you can make a solid argument that, yes, he belongs up there.
I think you make better than a solid argument, especially comparatively speaking. Now, the one thing I will say is I think sometimes we get caught up in emotions in the moment and too many guys get recommended for stuff like this.
Right.
You know, like Ernest Biner and the, come on, man. Like when you start looking at some of the, names that people bring up, it's like, should he go in the rafters? Should we retire his number? Now retiring a number is totally different. Like you, that has to be for somebody special that meant something serious to the organization or the university. But honoring a guy by putting him up in the rafters and for all that he's done here, especially with some of the names you mentioned, I'm not downing any of those names. I think they're all deserving. But I definitely think Juju deserves to be up there.
Joe Smith is up there, big man, right?
Yep.
Lynn Bias is up there. Yeah, he's kind of a big man. Ernie Graham's up there, big man. Buck Williams was known for defensive rebounding him, all right? He could score, but that's what he was known for. Lynn Elmore, up there, big man. Tom McMillan, all of these are big men, right? Yet, Juju is the all-time offensive and defensive rebounder for Maryland. All-time leader.
Yes.
He makes a case, makes an argument. Jeremy and Glen Burnie, what's up?
Hey, guys, love the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if his name definitely belongs in the rafters, but why don't we start with this at least? His sister's got it, her own McDonald's meal. Why don't we get a Juju meal at McDonald's? You know what I mean? At least in the city of College Park or something. Let's get, you know, get that going.
Well, the thing I'd say about that is that even though here we love Juju, his sister became a national, like, icon. I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, we were talking about
you actually commenting on that?
Why?
Comment on this, Jeremy. Comment on this, just you hate parades. What would you do if you were stopped for the MLK parade?
That's a really nice parade, man. That's a really nice parade. That's one of the best parades I had ever seen. You know my story.
So you don't want no parts of that one.
I will repeat what I said once to Marcus Peters, or at least over the air. I don't want that smoke. You know they stopped the MLK Day parade when when Peyton was born for me.
Really?
The parade was going on. I was working at, I was doing radio, but I was also working at a company running like cable wires and things like that. I worked three jobs. I was delivering pizzas. It was a half Jamaican, I guess. Air me now. But anyway, the point is... I'm driving through, my ex-wife's in labor, and I'm like honking the horn. I'm like, hey, my wife's giving birth now. I got to get through. They stopped the parade for me to get through.
For Peyton?
Yeah.
I think that's disrespectful.
He was born on MLK Day.
You didn't name him D. Peyton or La Peyton. Yeah, it's disrespectful. You should have said something to daughter.
When you said your buddy text, you said, I bet he won't say he hates the MLK Day parade. You're right. Great parade.
Daily Line at 9:15, but on the other side, Brenda Fries. Oh, my gosh. She almost made me pass out last night with that win, but it was all good. She joins us up next on The Fan.